I have a simple assignment to share a couple of things about the end times. Let's honor the Lord by standing. Let's open our Bible. We are going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 28. We're going to read together. And then we'll jump to verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 20. To 28, and we'll read verse 58. Are we all there together? Let's read. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own. Afterwards they that are at his coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lord, we just like to honor you. We celebrate your mercy. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your great sacrifice on the cross that is still bearing fruit in our life, even at this difficult sliver of time in human history, when you are fulfilling these scriptures. When you are bringing an end to all rule, authority, and power that are in opposition to your government, that you may reign and that all your enemies will be put under your feet. Lord, we recognize that this moment in time calls for grace, calls for your mercy, calls for your help, calls for your understanding. We ask, Lord, that you will baptize us into these graces in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank you for the angels that you have sent to be part of this meeting. For indeed, when your son, Professor Anibogu, was sharing in the afternoon, I could see that understanding was standing on his left right hand side, and discernment or judgment was standing on his right hand side. We receive the ministry of these two angels, and we ask, Lord, that you show us how we ought to conduct ourselves so that we will profit from their ministry to us, both in this conference and afterwards, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we ask also that as your word comes, you will open our ears, that they may hear me in the spirit. Beyond the English, I will say, because many things that are spiritual are difficult to give expression, that you will bat truths in their hearts, that will prepare them for these times, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Lord, we also speak to the gate of the east to make room for you, because indeed, at this time, you are arising as a star from the east to prepare the nations of Africa for her end time rule of being the continent and nation that will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in truth, in holiness, and in your power until you return again in glory. Lord, I ask for your help. within the time that has been given to me, that you will pass through me and share and impart your people. And when your word finishes, just give me the signal that I may sit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, you may be seated. I want to talk about the end of the age. I want to talk to us about the season that we are in. And I want to start by saying that anybody who must understand the end times and the dealings of God at this time must be a student of Scripture. Because this season, the coloration is that there is going to be an increase in deception. Many things will come up that will take people away, that will compromise people's salvation, that will make them ready vehicles that Satan can use to try to extend his reign that is already coming to an end. So you must read the word of God, you must meditate on it, you must study it, and you must pray it, that the Lord will bat it and it becomes life for you. So firstly, to understand end time events, the way it is portrayed in the Scripture, I want to give us five keys, five things that you must bear in mind, that also have their bearing in Scripture. Firstly, in Isaiah chapter 46, from verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So that tells us that God already declared the end from the beginning. So if you want to understand what will happen in the end, what should you do? Go and look at what God did in the beginning. That tells also that if we want to understand the complexion of the end of the age, we have to study carefully the book of Genesis. Because most of those things that were laid there as foundations are what will just play out in the end times. So God declares the end from the beginning. If you want to understand the end, always look at the beginning. That is why for God, the day does not start with the morning. It starts in the evening. That's why the Bible says that evening and morning was the first day. Is it in your Bible? So that's how God thinks. Before God will start a thing, he already thought about the end. So that is the first key. The second key, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, reading from verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 from verse 4. It says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Verse 5. "The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose." Continue up to verse 10. "The wind goeth towards the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again." Jump to verse 9. Verse 9. "The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Verse 10. "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time, which was before us." So the law of cycles, The thing that has been is that which shall be again. So if you want to understand end time events, you have to study the cycles of things. You have to study historical cycles, economic cycles, national cycles. There is no new thing that will happen in Nigeria. If you look at the foundation of the nation, most of the things that happened before are what will play out again in the end. The difference being that if there is intercession, then men of understanding can guide those events to fulfill the counsel of God. Then the third key, you see it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It talks about how God views time. I think Pastor Naj mentioned it before, how God calculates time. God does not use our own yardsticks to measure time. And it helps us to understand that even from the book of Genesis, God was making a statement about the time span he has allowed for man to do his own thing on earth. Can we look at it? 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 3. Okay, let me read. But beloved, be not ignorant, I'm reading verse 8, of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, even though the Bible calculates the history of creation in days, it's actually giving us an indication that there's a limited period that God has allotted to man to do his own thing on earth. And if we read other two scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, from verse 31 to chapter 2, verse 3, we will realize that there is actually a period that God refers to as his own rest on the earth. When he will have rest, when he will establish his own government on earth. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he has made. So, from that Genesis account, if we take into consideration 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 we read, it shows that God gave to man a lease period of 6,000 years to rule on earth, to do his own thing. And at the expiration of that 6,000 years, God is going to have rest on earth by establishing his own government. Now, that rest period of God is what the Bible refers to as the millennial reign of Christ. It's important for us to note that we are living at a time when man has exhausted the 6,000-year period on earth. Because the way God ordered it, if you study scripture carefully, you will discover that there are timelines. And these timelines are made up of 2,000-year periods or 2 days. If you calculate, you will see that from the creation of Adam to Abraham, it lasted 2,000 years. From the time of Abraham to the first advent of Christ, it lasted 2,000 years. And if you're a student of prophecy and logic, it also shows that the third and final segment will also last 2,000 years. The thing is that if we calculate time both by the Gregorian calendar and the Jewish calendar, that 2,000-year period has been exhausted. I'm sure we remember when we celebrated the millennium in year 2000. Are there people here that were born in year 2000? You know, it was thought then that the world was going to end. There were a lot of hullabaloo and all that. But we can say that that is man's calendar, not God's calendar. But if you go by the Hebrew calendar also, in September 2015, by their own calculation, man had spent 6,000 years on earth. And on that particular day, during the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles in that year, Jewish rabbis blew the shofar 100 times. And they said to God that you have fulfilled your covenant with Adam. Now what it means is that if the Lord returns, the Lord can return even as we are speaking in this conference. God is a God of covenant. God is a God of pattern. God is a God of order. And he has fulfilled his covenant with man. We have to bear it in mind that we are living on borrowed time. The little time we are living in is just a period that the Lord has allowed out of his mercy to see if a few more people can come into the kingdom. I'm going to be talking about this briefly later. And God is a God of foundations and patterns. If you look at the life of Moses, Moses encapsulated God's covenant with man, because Moses was also a type of Christ. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 7, he said that Moses died when he was how many years? 120 years old. 120 years times 50 years jubilee will give you 6,000 years. So God was making a statement through Moses that I have a covenant with man that I will keep, and I will demonstrate it in the life of Moses. And Moses died after he lived 50 jubilees. 50 years times 120 will give you exactly 6,000 years. So that is the third principle you have to bear in mind when you are looking at end time events. The fourth one, talking about the keys. Now you see it in Psalm 19 verse 1 to 2. Psalm 19 verse 1 and 2. And what he says is simply, for us to understand what God is doing in the end time, we have to observe nature systems. We have to look at what is happening in the planetary systems, the sun, the moon, the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And between last year also, you remember that there were a series of events that do not happen unless a long period of time has expired. Events like the blood moon tetrads, that four of them appeared in a particular sequence over a period of 12 calendar months. So God was making a statement to man that it will soon be over. And that is why in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 1 to 3, Jesus was accusing the Jews. He said, you can just use the nature system, the sun and moon, to interpret natural events. But can you not also use it to understand the seasons we are in, that they are not ordinary seasons? And then finally, the last principle that you have to bear in mind, we look at it in Luke chapter 21, verse 29. Luke 21, verse 29. And he spake to them a parable. He said, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Look at the fig tree, and then look at all the other trees. So, What is the fig tree? Who is the fig tree that he is referring to? If you also study the Bible, you will discover that trees refer to nations. And the fig tree is a reference to the nation of Israel. So God says, if you want to understand how it will all end, keep your eye on the nation of Israel, because it's my prophetic timepiece. It's my statement to the nations. It's an indication of my covenant with the earth. And then it mentions, keep your eye on the other trees. So who are the other trees? He's talking about other nations that are mentioned in connection with Bible prophecy. And this is a very long study on itself, but I have classified it into five categories, which I will mention quickly in order. The first set of nations, we see them mentioned in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10 to 14. So we can say, look at Genesis 2, 10 to 14 nations. Remember, what God will do in the end, he shows in the beginning. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10 to 14. He says, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, or the land of the blacks, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. There is delium and onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same it is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. You know that if you read the Bible well, you will discover that water bodies are used to refer to nations. When God is talking about the water, he's talking about a people group or nations. So these four nations are going to play significant roles in the end times. So let's start with Gihon. Which nations are compassed by the river Gihon? If you read some good Bibles, especially some Bibles that are not new, some old editions of the Bible, you will discover that the Gihon is actually a reference to the river Nile. The Nile River starts in a lake in Jinja, Uganda, and then it flows in both directions. It's the only river that flows a little backward, where it forms a lake that compasses about four or five African nations, including Kenya, Burundi, Tanzania, Uganda. And then it goes north, where it passes through Ethiopia, Sudan, and it ends up in Egypt. Go and do a study and find out about 11 African nations where this river passes. If you study them, you will discover that they are, some things are stirring there that have a bearing on the end times. You know that Hiddekel or Tigris and Euphrates are rivers that emanated from Turkey. It started in an upland area in Turkey, and it flows into the Persian Gulf, and then it passes most of the Arab nations. So this is telling you Turkey, nations like Saudi Arabia, and some of those nations where this river passes. Then we come back to Pisonia. I want to tell you that Pisonia is talking about, study it very well, it says, in the land of the blacks. For anywhere you see black people gather in the world, one out of five of them is in Nigeria. So I want to tell you that River Pisonia is actually the river that we call Niger, which starts in the Futajola Mountains in Guinea, or Conakry, Guinea. And then it passes through Mali, it passes through Benin Republic, it enters Nigeria, and it passes through the Middle Belt areas, and then it passes through Onitsha, Anambra State and Delta State, and then it empties into the Delta. So God is saying that these are the nations that will play a significant role in the end time. The last move of God on earth will be championed by the sons of Ham or the Black Race. And Nigeria has a prophetic calling to lead that race, to carry the gospel of the kingdom of Christ, and then to take it to the nations in holiness, so that Christ can ride on that wave and return. So the shakings you see in Nigeria, the political shakings, the conflict with Islam, and all the things we are seeing, including the government and the effort and treachery, and the conspiracy of the international community, is actually because of this prophetic calling of God on Nigeria. I'm going to still say a few things about this. Because if we don't understand why God created a particular nation, we can be there and do our own thing and not fulfill our calling and destiny. So these are the first group of nations we must bear in mind. The second group of nations, Ezekiel 38 and 39 nations. If we look at it, you will see nations like Russia, Turkey, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Kazakhstan, Turkestan, Iran, Ethiopia, and the like. Then we see another group of nations mentioned in other prophetic books, like the book of Isaiah. If you read Isaiah chapter 17 and Isaiah chapter 19, you're going to see nations like Syria and Egypt, and also you see the Black Race again. You still see nations like Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Yemen. I want to mention two particular cities that are of strategic importance. Number one, the city of Damascus in Syria. Damascus in Syria is the longest continuing city on earth. Damascus has existed without interruption since the ancient times. There's no other city like that in the world. And then also, you look at a nation like Yemen. You know, studies have shown that the Yemenis are actually the descendants of Esau. And in Esau, if you read the book of Obadiah from verse 1 to 4, is encapsulated God's hatred on pride and God's displeasure with Satan when he operates as a dragon. If you read Revelation chapter 12, one of the things that will happen in the last days is the conflict of the dragon to abort the holy seed or the precious things of God. So that dragon is talking about when Satan infuses himself into human systems. And I will give an example. For example, we know that Satan is a dragon. But when Satan comes into a religious system and hijacks the church, such that when you just pass through the church, you don't know you're already serving the devil. He enters through the educational system, changes the curriculum. When you just pass through a school, you have already become an atheist. He enters the economy and hijacks the system so that the principles and where people deal is just built on the foundation of mammon and wickedness. If you look at our nation, Nigeria, can you do business in Nigeria without compromise? If you are called into politics, can you do politics in Nigeria without going to one shrine to swear to some godfathers and some demons? This is talking about the dragon, when Satan just infuses human systems and hijacks it. And that is the judgment that God is talking about in Obadiah chapter 17. If you read from verse 1, Obadiah verse 17. If you read Obadiah, because Obadiah is only one chapter. If you read from verse 1 to 4, and then finally verse 17, God said he's going to visit the mountain of Esau in judgment. And the physical nation that still has that genealogy of Esau is the nation of Yemen. And today, are you not seeing the war that is going on in Yemen? So that is already an indication that scriptures that were given to us thousands of years ago, we are the generation that is seeing the fulfillment. And then the fourth group of nations You look at in Bible prophecy, it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 to 10. In Revelation chapter 20, you will discover that during the millennial reign of Christ, Satan is going to be incarcerated in a prison. Satan is going to be locked in a prison down below in the abyss for 1,000 years. But after the end of that 1,000 years, he is going to be released for a season. And when he is released, he is going to engineer human opposition against God that will manifest in some nations going up against Jerusalem, against Israel. And then those nations I mentioned is called Gog and Magog. Now, people who have studied the Bible say that it's a reference to the nation on the northernmost part of Europe, which is Russia, and maybe some other nations around Russia like Kazakhstan, Turkestan, and all that. So we also have to keep an eye on what is happening there. Then the Gog and Magog spirit is talking about the way Satan will come out against humanity when he is released from prison. And those spirits of Gog and Magog are already manifesting on earth. Because when prophecy is given, the fulfillment is over a period of time. It's not just once. So there are some wickedness we are seeing on the earth today, which is an operation of the spirit of Gog and Magog. And we have to be prepared to be able to stand against these spirits. And then the final group of nations you will see in Bible prophecy are modern nations that carry God's covenant for the gospel. Nations like America, nations like the United Kingdom, nations like Germany, Australia, and then some EU nations like Switzerland, Austria, etc. Let me mention two important events that is of immense historical significance. The first one, British exit from the European Union, or Brexit, as they call it. Now, I want us to understand that it was just an act of God's mercy to extend the grace period slightly. Because the European Union has already been taken over by this end time spirit that manifests in globalism. And then globalism is the foundation that will produce the Antichrist. Now, what Prof was sharing in the afternoon, it is globalists that is manipulating the food industry so that it can control human society. If you read the book of Revelation, chapter 13, you will discover that one of the things that will be put in place for the Antichrist to manifest is a global economic system that will be controlled centrally, so that those who refuse to submit to that system will be denied economic opportunities. So Europe was already providing the backbone for the emergence of that structure. But then Britain, at a time in their history, has made a covenant with God for the gospel. The Bible we are reading today was given by a British king, King James Version of the Bible. I don't even know whether he is a believer. But God moved sovereignly upon him, and he provided his word to the nations at a period in history when it was difficult for the ordinary people to lay hold on the word of God. Because if you study history, you will discover that one of the things that Romans did to control humanity was to restrict the use of the Bible and the production. It was only the elites that could see the word of God and read it. So nations like America, nations like United Kingdom, at a point in their history, because of the purpose of God for the gospel, God laid hold of such nations. Then another event that is of immense significance is Trump's victory in the last American election. Now the Lord said to us that Trump's victory brought back for humanity about extra 8 years. I'm not saying that the age will end after 8 years, but I'm saying that if Hillary Clinton had won that election, it would have changed the configuration of the earth forever. Because Hillary Clinton and some of the people backing him are the people that are in the forefront of this global agenda of Satan, championed by the New Age and other cult groups. And then most of them are witches and high initiates in the occult. So if she had won, America would have been pushed off the cliff. And it was God's purpose, God's mercy, and the praying church that saved humanity from that doom. So if you look at these five group of nations, you will begin to have an idea of the nations that will play some roles at this end time. Then let me now move and talk briefly about the complexion, how God says the end of the age will look like. And we look at one scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 17. I read from verse 26. God gives us two pictures. And it as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The days of Noah. If we want to see the complexion of the days of Noah, we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, from verse 1 to 5. We don't have to read it because of time. But what happened was that wickedness increased on earth as a result of the infiltration of the human race by fallen angels. The same thing is happening again on the earth. I have a documentary that is called Think That We Are All Humans. I don't know if it's available still in the internet. If you Google it, you will discover that there is a scientific study that has captured some people on human skin, but they are not human beings. They do not have the DNA that God passed to us through Adam. Now, these people are people the Bible calls beasts because they don't have any seed of God in them. These people are capable of extreme wickedness. And through science, that is why what Prof was saying in the afternoon about food modification and that. Through science, people are deliberately altering the DNA of human beings to bring them under the government of fallen angels, to make them fallen angels, to make them vehicles, to make them carriers of the spirit of Nephilim. Also through occultation. Occultation is where people go into the waters. As human beings, they interact with spirits that are in the waters and they come up again in human bodies, but they are no longer human beings. There are a lot of people on earth today, women, that are just people who come out with human bodies through the waters. If you are in intercession, you know what I'm talking about. You see a lot of these people. And then they are mating with men and producing children for Satan. So through occultation, through occultism, also through occultism, sometimes you go to, because you want power or money, they tell you, let me take you to the waters and do some things for you. And then you are opened and your body becomes a vehicle through which one spirit will find human beings to walk on earth. Because God gave the earth to man. And spirits are not powerful except they can find a human body. The Bible says the heaven of heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Spirit doesn't have authority on earth except he can find a man. That is why Christ has to find a woman through whom he can come legally to the earth. And that's why Psalm 40 and the book of Hebrews that we read in the morning says, you have prepared me a body. God has to pay the price to come here through the gates of humans. So all these things are happening. And if you study the religion of the bond woman, the person they are talking about, which may likely be the Antichrist, is actually talking about somebody that has passed through this occultation gate. Because if you study their history, there was a 50 man, a Mahdi, that they said at the age of 5 years went into the waters. And a particular sect of that religion is expecting that he will come back to the earth as the Ahmadi or Messiah. So you discover that phenomenon is repeating itself again. There are people on earth today in positions of authority that are not human. The Lord has actually shown some people to us. There is not something to be said in this kind of open platform. So that is the days of Noah. Extreme wickedness, materialism as a result of satanic infiltration of the earth. The days of Lot is talking about perversion, corruption, and rebellion against God. If you read Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19, God was moved by the constant report he was getting about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the state of their moral decadence, and he decided to come in company of two angels. And then the Bible says, if you read Genesis 19, that all the men of that city came together and wanted to make love with those men, not knowing they were not human beings. And even when Lot offered them to sleep with his child, even though I don't know the kind of man Lot was, who will offer to exchange his children in order to protect strangers. So I'm still trying to understand the kind of value that is. But then, the important thing about that story is that what you call today homosexuality, bestialism, lesbianism, is not a new evil. And you discover that today that is the state of the world. Nations of the world, including the church, are struggling with this menace and not able to overcome it. And in many places, including Europe, America, that gave us the gospel, they have compromised. Because somebody was saying that if you say that gays should leave the church, that the population will decrease, maybe 9-1. About 90% will leave the church. I don't know whether it's true. But then, even the priesthood, the leadership, have submitted to this evil. So it's not a new thing, it's just an indication that the end of the age has come. And then if you look at the last government in America, at a time they made it a principal focus of their international relation with other nations. Because what the Obama administration was doing is, we will not support you unless you support gay. And even that is part of the controversy that brought down the former president. Go and study. It's just an indication of where we are in the end time. And then, where is Israel's place in all this? I want to now focus on, I told you, look at the fig tree, look at other trees. I want to end by talking briefly about the nation of Israel. And I'm going to be looking at some scriptures, because scriptures speak for themselves. Firstly, Deuteronomy chapter 32, from verse 7. It says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundary of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So God is the one who established the nation states Because he wanted to use the nations as his platform to reach humanity. If you study also Acts chapter 17, from verse 25 to 30, you see the same thing. Where Paul was saying that God established the nation states to use that platform to reach humanity with the gospel of the kingdom. So it was part of what God put in place in order to recover man from the fall of Adam in the garden. So Israel becomes like the first fruit, the foundation, the model, the first button. I normally tell people that Israel is like the first button in a suit. If you are wearing a suit and you take button number one and you button it in number three, is it going to align? No, you are going to look like some old pastors we used to see in the East that wear very big coats. So, God has a place for Israel. Israel is the first that God took so that he can model something in them that can then give him investment or harvest of other nations. Then we also look at Numbers chapter 23 from verse 9 to 10. Numbers 23, 9 to 10. Now, because of this calling, God prepared Israel to be a standalone nation. Now, this is talking about the prophecy that a servant of God gave, even though he has been hired to prophesy and enslave the people of God. You know the story about Balak and Balaam. But look at one of the things that Balaam, God showed him about the nation of Israel. He says, "For from the top of the rocks, I see him." That is, I see Israel. "And from the hills, I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." So Israel was called to model God's expectation from the nations, that it should stand alone, it should not be infiltrated by human systems, human government. It's supposed to be a modern nation where people can see what God has in mind for creating the nation states. So that is the second reason why we have to see Israel's unique position. Then if you read Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 4, let's go there. You are going to see the eight purposes of God for the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 9 from verse 1 to 4. Let me just read verse 4 because of time. It says, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever." So number one, adoption through the nation of Israel, a gate was opened to adopt Gentile nations into the family of God. If you read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5, you see it there. Then the glory is talking about the return to Eden, because God lost his original intention for the earth through the fall of Adam. So Israel is the nation through which God's process for recovering that glory came back to us. Number three, the covenants. In trusting the Lord, I will still have the opportunity to talk about the covenant. But covenant making is actually the only way through which God creates a permanent relationship with man. And if you look at the life of the patriarchs, it's a life of covenant. Then the giving of the law. If you look at Numbers chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, where God reveal to man his expectation from us, to show us that without grace we cannot meet his righteous requirement. It was passed down to us through the nation of Israel or the Jews. The service of God, we see this through the various orders of priesthood. Then the promises, including the promise of Christ. That is the sixth one. And then the fathers. We cannot talk today about faith without talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the gift of Christ. Christ is a Jew. Christ is known in all eternity as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not the Lion of the whole world or the Lion of the whole nation. So the nation of Israel has a unique place in God's dealing with the universe. And then if you read the Bible, God revealed that there are going to be three dispersions of the nation of Israel. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, separate from your family, come and walk through me, so that through you I can bless the earth again. Through you I can recover what was lost in Adam. And then God called the nation to himself. But God told them that in relating with them in history, they are going to be deported from that land of promise 3 times. And then he was going to gather them back to the land. The first dispersion, we see it in Genesis chapter 15, from verse 12 to 15. Maybe I read a little of it because it's like the foundation. Genesis chapter 15 from verse 12. It says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that I see shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And we see that this was fulfilled in history. Because when famine came on Canaan land, at that time Joseph was already in Egypt. Eventually, the sons of Jacob ended up in Egypt, and they stayed there for 400 years until God raised the ministry of Moses, who with Joshua brought them back to the promised land. The second dispersion prophesied by Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah 25 from verse 9. Jeremiah 25 from verse 9. I also read a little of it. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolation. And then verse 11. And the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, this is the prophecy that led to the second captivity of the Jews when they were deported to Babylon. And it was at this time that God raised Daniel. When Daniel realized that this period prophesied in scripture has been fulfilled, he began to intercede for God to end it. We see this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel realized that the time period God has allowed has elapsed, and he started interceding. That also shows us what we have to do as a nation. Because God is also saying to us as a nation that the season of our jubilee has come. And that means that God is going to raise people who will understand the times, who will begin to stand in intercession to bat that purpose. Then the final dispersion is mentioned both by Moses and by Christ. Moses mentioned it in Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 to 58. We are not going to read it, but let's just read Jesus' word in Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. Matthew 24, verse 2. Matthew 24, verse 2. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, let me begin to close because my time is up. Now, that final dispersion of the Jews, in history, we will discover that many things happened. Firstly, during the Second World War, most of the things that Moses wrote about were fulfilled, because about 6 million Jews were killed.
Put our hands together and let's welcome to the Rock Church.
But then a time came,
come on, put your hands together,
in 1948, when God began to move in the heart of the nation. And then a declaration was made called the Balfour Declaration that allowed the Jews to return again to the promised land. So, when God says, look at the fig tree, because Israel as a nation represents God's timepiece, God was telling us that when Israel comes back to the land, the prophetic clock that was stopped will begin to tick again. That is why Psalm 102 from verse 12 to 18 says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he will appear again in his glory. And if you look at many things that has happened in the nations of the world, you will discover that God has been working on this particular program. Now, I have some timelines here. Firstly, if you look at 1897, the first Zionist Congress was held, where Jews that are in outside the promised land, who has garnered some measure of influence, began to talk again about a return to Zion. And if you add 120 years to 1897, you will arrive at 2017. This year we are in. Now, I'm laying this foundation to say to us that what just happened on 7th December, when Trump, the 45th American president, declared Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel, is of immense prophetic significance. It wasn't just an act. It's possible that that is the only reason why Trump, a man like Cyrus, was brought to lead that nation at this time. Then if you look at 1917, it was the year the Balfour Declaration was made. Balfour is actually the name of a British Secretary of State that gave a license that Jews, after that Second World War, were free to come back. No, after the First World War, were free to come back to the promised land. Then in 1947-48, I've already mentioned the creation of the State of Israel. If you add 70 years to that period, which is a season for the completion of a biblical cycle of captivity, you still arrive in 2017. Then in 1967, You remember that the Jews fought a war with the whole Arab nation called the Sixth Day War. It was in that war that they captured Jerusalem, the site of the Holy Temple. Then, if you add 50 years to 1967, you will still arrive at 2017. You will discover that in Nigeria also, the East tried to pull away from the nation. Because what Israel is to the nations of the world is what the East of Nigeria or the Igbo nation is to Nigeria and Africa. But then that rebellion was put down, and 2017 is the 50-year cycle which is supposed to represent Jubilee. And it was at that time that Satan started stirring up that spirit of Biafra again. And you started hearing about Biafra and Nnamdi Kanu and that. What the gates of hell were trying to do was just to stop God's prophetic agenda for the nations. Because God has ordained it that Nigeria will carry the last glory that will lead to the return of Christ. But Nigeria will never be able to fulfill that role until the East arises. God says that He is going to arise as a star from Eastern Nigeria, so that He can fix Nigeria and then bless the nations of Africa. Now, it's not because the Eastern people are very good. The Eastern people are actually full of pride and religion and idolatry. But God is sovereign. And then if you study order and pattern, you will discover that there is something the Eastern Gate represents. For example, where does the sun arise from? The sun must rise from the east before it can set in the west. Where did the rebellion take place in heaven? The east. Where was Adam placed in the garden? God created a garden east of Eden and planted man there. If you read Isaiah chapter 41, God said He's going to arise as a governor from the east to bless the nation. If you read Ezekiel chapter 47, God says that a healing river will flow from the east that will bless the nations of the world. The east is actually a governmental position from where God fixes things on the earth. So, God has a calling for every nation, every race, every people group. But that does not make that people group more important than the others. Because if you also study, you will discover that the East will never be able to fulfill that mandate unless it secures the cooperation of the other components in the nation. So the East, or the Igbo nation, actually has a lot in common with Israel. And God says that the nation of Israel has a date to keep with Him in 2017. And also that Nigeria has a date to keep with Him in 2017. So I believe that God prompting Trump to make that announcement is actually to open the door for the fulfillment of the last prophetic cycle that will end this age. And I want to show you what that prophetic cycle is from the book of Daniel. And that is where I'm going to stop. For some events mentioned prophetically in Matthew chapter 24 verse 15. Let's look at it before we go to the book of Daniel. For some of these events to be fulfilled, the third temple has to be built in Jerusalem. Matthew 24 verse 15. It talks about,
come on, let's put our hands together.
When in therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. The abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel. When you see standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then I'll read another scripture in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 24, talks about the times of the Gentiles, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What is the times of the Gentiles? The time of the Gentiles, if we want to understand it, we still go back to the book of Romans and we read a few verses from verse 7. Romans chapter 11 from verse 7. Let me read just a few verses. It says, "What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh, for but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, until this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fail? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy." Verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until" what? "The times of the Gentiles be coming." So what is the time of the Gentiles? The time period that God allowed in order to bring Gentile nations into the covenant he made with Abraham. And God, as an expression of his grace, has to suspend his dealings with the Jews. So when you see God going back again to restart his work with the Jews, what does it tell you? That the times of the Gentiles is coming to an end. That is the significance of what Trump did on December 7th. He opened the door to start the processes that will lead to the rebuilding of the third temple. Finally, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. That is where I'm going to end. Because the last 7 years of life on earth is going to see Satan just try to express everything he has planned over the ages. And his rulership is going to manifest in a man called the Antichrist, who will actually be a body that Satan himself will take. Just like Christ appeared on earth as a man, Satan will just manifest himself in full in that man. Daniel chapter 9 from verse 24. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do some things. Number one, to finish transgression and make reconciliation, make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquities. Number three, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number four, to seal up the vision and prophecy. Number five, to anoint the most holy. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm that covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this scripture is just saying that at the end of the age, which is this time, that there's going to be like a fake peace process that will allow the Jews to restart the temple worship. And then there's going to be like a covenant championed by this Antichrist that will be aborted after about 3.5 years. So this is not going to happen until the prophetic clock starts ticking again, showing that we have entered this last 7 years of human history. So what Trump did is to send a signal to us that the times of the Gentile is closing. When I arrived here yesterday, the Lord said to me as I was praying in my room to keep an eye on Billy Graham. How many years is Billy Graham? How many years? More than 90 years. The Lord said that the day that man goes home, that we should just see that this thing is about to end. You know, when God wants to do something significant, sometimes he will just use people to put as pictures before us. God has done it before. If you look at the book of Genesis, that is the reason Methuselah lived a very long time. Because God has told his grandfather that, look, the day this man dies, I'm going to destroy that generation with threats. That's what Billy Graham represents for us. So, what ought we to do as a people in whose generation God is doing all these things? My time has finished. I'll just mention 3 things. You know, there are many things, but let me mention just 3 that are very, very important. Number 1, we must seek understanding and discernment. In the morning, when Prof was speaking, I saw that 2 angels were standing by his side. One on the left, understanding, the one on the right looked like a woman. I understand it was discernment. Now, these are the kind of priesthoods that will carry the present purposes of God in this season. If you look at the church today, many times when God is going to the right, the people of God are going to the left. So God is going to raise an Issachar company, people who will understand the times, to know what we ought to be doing at our different levels. And I am convinced that part of what God will do in this conference is to lay the foundation for that work in understanding. And that is why God has brought the kind of people he has brought to come and talk to us, not just to speak grammar, but also to make the impartation that will lay the foundations for us. Prophetically speaking, Nigeria as a nation is in Exodus chapter 14. God is making our nation to pass through her Red Sea experience so that he can judge the pharaohs in the land who are standing against his purpose. The year we are going into is not an ordinary year. It's a year of war and conflict. And God is going to need men of war who will be able to pray and make legislative decrees that will establish the purpose of God. If you read Revelation chapter 11, you see the kind of men that will carry this purpose. Let me read just Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 from verse 5. Sorry, Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. Sorry, 15, not 17, verse 5. And after this I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. These men were angels, but they had golden girdles on their breasts. Now, when you read scripture, it's not every angel you see there that is a spiritual being. Some of these angels are also men who have walked with God and who then moved on to be with Christ. Because golden girdle on their breast is talking about men who have lived in human body, who have developed compassion so that they can carry the judgmental acts of God with compassion. If you read the book of Revelation, you will discover that John saw one of them. He wanted to bow down and worship him. He said, "Don't worship me, because I am your fellow brother of your servants, the prophets." So God is raising a priesthood that will be able to carry his judgmental decrees and make certain proclamations that will bring down the fellows who have covenanted with Satan that the purpose of God will not stand. And the Lord said, there are many of these fellows in our nation, but in 2018 he has a date to keep with them. So through understanding, God will raise a priesthood who will know what is required, who will not be praying for mercy when heaven wants to render judgment. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 6 or 16, that unless God judges the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will not learn righteousness. God is saying that in 2017, Nigeria should transit as a nation from the era of corruption to the era of righteousness. That is God's covenant with the fathers. In 1986, God told a man, Paersis, who is the apostle that laid the foundation of the Seventh-day Church in Nigeria, that Nigeria will pass through a phase of corruption, but after that, a phase of righteousness. God is saying that the season for that phase of righteousness has come. God is looking for partnerships with men and women who will understand the season and then line up with the church in heaven to pray what the church in heaven is praying. If you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24, it talks about the church in heaven. If we are not here in that church, we will be doing our own thing and going west when God is going east. So part of what God has come to do is to raise a priesthood that will carry these bracelets, and God will undergird them with understanding and discernment. Now, what Solomon asked from God is, give me discernment to be able to give righteous judgment. That is the first thing we should seek. The second thing is, we must grow in our priesthood. When God is talking that he's going to judge the pharaohs, remember, it's not only the children of Egypt that passed through the Red Sea, was it? The children of Israel also passed through the Red Sea. But the difference is that that Red Sea became a burial ground for Pharaoh, his chariots, and Egyptians. But it became a place of life for the people of God. That same thing is going to be repeated in our nation. God is going to raise from amongst us a priesthood who can understand this. Remember, God never told Moses to go and confront Pharaoh until he made him a God. He said, "Today I have made you a God, and Aaron your brother will be your servant." God is talking about mature priesthood, people who come in the measure of Christ. That when they enter a place, you don't have to say, "When is God coming?" If they come, God has come. That is actually the definition of godliness. Godliness is a person that is God like Christ. God is going to raise such from among us. And that should be part of our prayers. Let's forget about prayer to buy jeep, to do this, to do that. Because the truth is that when we enter into the purpose of God, all those things we flow as a matter of course. The third and final thing I like to say, this is the season when God is raising Deborahs to himself. If you look at our nation, there is fear in the land. The men are in the
God has not tell you to talk. Government cannot show anything and get away with this. People cannot talk one thing and tell one lie on the other. Things are going wrong. Government is investing millions of our money to promote an Islamic agenda. Everybody is afraid. Men cannot speak. People who used to speak before have suddenly become quiet. In this kind of season, God will look for women that will be faithful to their hope. So trust the men into their focus. And when he became here, the Lord began to show the mother that God has raised his son and to say that his son was born and that he was going to raise a company of women through whom they will pass the sons into their present home. So, except these women arise, the battles will not be able to arise. Whenever men are in fear and in hiding, God will put their hands on women. Extraordinary boldness will come upon them, and many of them will go to places that men are afraid to go. It is the way of God and His things. So we want to see this, and this is what God is doing, and we want to partner with these women, pray for them, train them, prepare them so that they can stand and step into this. As we do this in 2017, 2018, will be extraordinary news to our nation. I want to tell you that the girls that harassed me yesterday, before the end of 2018, you will look and you will not see anything
in the horizon. Father, we like to appreciate you. I know that there are many things in your heart to do in this meeting. I know that there are many counsels in your heart that you want to establish with us. Lord, I ask that even as you have indicated that your hand is coming upon the set man of this house, also upon your daughter that you have raised to play her own role, that you will grant it to us, not to deny you in any way. Everything that is in your heart to bat in this conference, we are open. We are not insisting on going by our agenda, by the things we have written down. We make room for you to have your way. And we speak from this platform to the Eastern Gate that you will submit to the purposes of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. From here, God is going to raise up a revival that will bring Nigeria into the present purposes of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we say, have your way. Let your will be done, and let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And finally, we speak to our pharaohs, the pharaohs in our nation, that your time is over.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.